news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio. Hey everybody, Double A here, and thanks for downloading this exclusive audio of episode 372 of The Rant. This particular episode ran close to 5 hours. Now, the reason why this portion of the audio is isolated is because the last hour of the show was something that I never expected to happen. Mr. X in the chat room really got one on me good and surprised me when he had Kenny Starmaker Bolin call the show. Now, I had no idea that this was going to happen, so when it did, I was surprised. And what ensued has to be one of the most memorable moments in the show's history. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this exclusive where Kenny Bolin calls into The Rant. Well, I want to thank the world for listening tonight. We've had another rabble-rousing discussion. Any final thoughts from anybody here before we wind out the show tonight?
Well, I just want to say it was good talking with you guys and this whole night. So
thanks for calling in, man. It was fun having you on.
Nice talking to you. Yeah. I just want to say, silicon or real?
You know, it don't matter to me. I know who you're talking about, though.
Oh, wait.
They don't like silicone.
Wait a minute. We got one more caller here. 502, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Do you know who it is you have on the air?
No, I don't know who I have on the air.
All right. So what's the topic tonight? I'm calling in here for a reason, and then I'll tell you who you got on the air. What's the topic tonight?
Well, we've been all over the place, and we're about to wind down the show.
Wind down the show. Well, this ain't the time to wind down the show. I don't know. This is a Rushwood.
What was
this
that?
This is a Rushwood show, right? The Starmaker Bolin. How did you make that guess?
Oh my God!
How did you make that guess so quickly?
Because you're always on Cornette's podcast.
Not always on Cornette's podcast. Well, yeah. Well, I have my own show too. You know,
Cornette's podcast.
Well, and I also have my own show, you know, the Bolin Alley, which just aired here a few days ago. Have you not listened to that one yet?
No, not yet.
Well, it's time to do so. Probably one of the most controversial shows we've ever done. Some said it's the greatest Bolin Alley ever done. Links to it are on my wall on Facebook. But no, I actually didn't think you would guess who I was that quickly. That's pretty good.
Well, there you go.
Who do we have here? Who have I got on the line? Because I just received a few emails telling me that I needed to call into this show and liven it up a little bit.
Oh,
okay. Well,
I think they took it as a dare that I would call. They put down the number and they said these people will die if you call. I said, well, all right, I'll take that.
Who was that? Who told you that? Because they they tripping. Because we've been tripping all night long, having a blast.
Exactly.
Brian Cannell, are you familiar with who Brian Cannell is?
Yes, I know who he is. Okay, I know who.
He's the one that actually had a phone number on you guys.
Oh, look at that! All right, Mr. X.
Did he call into the show tonight?
No, he hasn't called in.
He hasn't called. Wow. He's having me do his dirty work for him, huh?
Oh my God!
I don't think Brian called in yet, have
he? No, he's never called.
No, and they said you guys were talking about the state of wrestling tonight. What seems to be the biggest complaint? What do people not like?
Well, it's just a general grievance overall. It's just things are not.
Well, I have to admit, most wrestling television shows do suck. I haven't even watched Raw yet. I've just heard feedback from people's opinions that I've
heard. You're not going to miss anything.
That's what I'm hearing.
We cover Raw on this program, and tonight we just opted not to.
So. Just that bad. Well, don't ruin anything for me. I have not watched. I haven't watched TNA yet, and I might be 15 minutes into. And I think Raw, I watched the first 7 minutes, so that's really about all I've seen.
No, the only thing I can tell you about...
You mentioned the Jim Cornette Experience. That's funny you mentioned that, because I am back on that show again. Well, we're going to record it tomorrow. It will air Thursday.
Okay.
And I've got a huge surprise for everybody on that show. So that's going to be a Jim Cornette Experience you're not going to want to miss.
Okay.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Jimmy takes 25 to 30 minutes to plug all his bullshit that he does, and he's up half the show with bullshit. So once we get through that nonsense, so you can probably just skip through the first 20, 25 minutes of it, and then the show will liven up a little bit.
Okay.
He says the same shit every week.
Well, let me say this. I used to see Jim Cornette when he used to come to Baltimore, and I had to stop him one time and say and thank him for managing one of the greatest tag teams of all time. My favorite tag team.
The Mulkey Brothers?
The Midnight Express.
No, I figured the Mulkeys might be who you were talking about.
No. Sweet Stan and
the Midnight Express. Well, they weren't too bad, but let's face it. They were already established stars long before Cornette got a hold of them. And part of my argument has been as to why I've been a better manager than Jimmy Cornette and many other managers is that none of the guys that I ever managed had done shit before I got a hold of them. The closest one would have been probably Mark Henry. And Mark Henry was sent down here to fail. They didn't expect Mark Henry to ever be back up in the WWE. Bull Buchanan was sent down here to fail. And of course, all the other ones we trained and developed fresh right here in OVW. They didn't want John Cena. John Cena doesn't have what it takes. Martin Jindrak and Lance Cade, they didn't want neither one of them. They don't have what it takes. And The Miz, The Miz was a television guy. He didn't have what it took. One of the biggest ones they ever blew in their life was Johnny Nitro. Jim Cornette and the whole gang predicted he'd never make it, and he wasn't worth a damn. Paul London, they didn't want him. He didn't have what it took. So the WWE has potentially blown it on a lot of them, but the biggest one of all was John Cena. He doesn't have what it takes.
And how they're riding him to fall off.
He's not a WWE guy. Well, I guess that certainly changed in a big hurry, didn't it? You guys are about to crap down your show. I don't know how much longer you had on the show, but I figured I'd call in and say hey to you guys. What's the name of your show?
You're actually calling into The Rant, where we're here on Rant EM Radio. It's a whole network of shows. So, you know, we have four shows that air live on this network every week.
Yeah,
variety of things, not just...
and everything. Yeah. Well, obviously you have call-ins, because I'm in, and right. I called in on the number that was sent to me.
Right.
Not just, about how many call-ins do y'all get a show?
It varies. It depends on how many people we want to bring on the air.
Well, I guess that would vary. People, for whatever reason, are intimidated to get on live on my show. I guess they think that if we get into a live verbal debate, there's no way to edit, there's no way to cut out, and if they... I guess they think I'm going to embarrass them, but no, I give everybody their say. I don't try to cut anybody off.
Same here. This is why we've been on the air for
You're
7 years.
Fired.
We've been on the air for 7 years now, so I mean, we kind of have this down to a science at this point.
You know what? This is my seventh year of doing the bowling alley, so you guys have been around a little while. This is the seventh season of the alley. I think the last one we did was season 7, episode 6, I believe.
Okay.
But I finally had to cut back. I was doing one a week for a long time, and I just think that's too many. I think Cornette needs to cut back to once a month, and I think the shows would mean a lot more.
Well, that's why we
the original plan was he and I were going to do a show called The Noon Report, and it was more or less going to make fun of our real-life situation.
Okay.
To where he and I call each other about noon every day and bitch and bullshit over what's going on in the world and politics, religion, wrestling, what the hell, you know, whatever, current events. And then somehow it got off to where the show was all about him and I was going to be on maybe once a month or whatever. And I said, fuck it, you know, about once a month is all I want to do the show anyway. You can do a show every week. I don't want to do one every week. So between my show and his show and then doing other people's shows from time to time, I probably do end up averaging about one a week, but there's only so many times you can say the same shit over and over, but Cornette keeps thinking he can.
Well, this is why we talk about a variety of subjects. We primarily focus on wrestling, but we talk about everything. I mean,
right. Well, Brian Cannell thought it would be real funny if I called you guys. He said it would blow you guys away, and I'm thinking, well, what if they don't even fucking know who I am? Then it's going to be embarrassing.
Well, Shane.
Well, at least you got me on the first guess.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you
don't
for
you
calling.
Have
there
shirt?
You go.
Don't you have a bowling guy shirt?
Well, I was told that it might be if I was going to take the time and effort to call in here tonight because I normally now this is how I weeded out my podcast and I got bitched at for this recently by some people on Facebook that I now charge an appearance fee. Because when, here not long ago, you guys might remember this, I was managing the current TNA champion in Bobby Lashley, the current WWE champion in John Cena, and the current NWA champion in Rob Conway. Not to mention heavily elevated the careers of Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, and The Miz, and well, I manage The Miz, and countless others. So needless to say, when I was the manager, who was the only one who really managed any of those three champions, I started getting a lot of calls to do the podcast. And I hate to say no to anybody, really. I mean, I try to do as many as I can, but it was getting to be so many. And I was saying the same shit on all the shows. No one was preparing any good questions. It was just, hey, Kenny, tell us about managing these three guys. Well, shit, there's only so many times you can tell that story. So I told him, I said, well, from now on, and I put it on Facebook, I'm now charging an appearance fee.
Right.
If you really want me on your show that bad and you really want to support Kenny Boland and Boland Services, no, you don't got to send me a check. No, I'm not going to charge you cash. But support me. Buy a shirt, buy a set of Beats, whatever, whatever the hell you want. If you ain't a shirt guy, buy some headphones. If you ain't a headphone guy, buy some DVDs. I don't care. Buy something. Support what I do. That way you get something, I get something, and I'll take an hour and do your show or however long your show is. And most people agreed to that. They didn't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. And but this one guy calls, and he's going to bully me into doing a show. Well, who was it? Volkoff, one of the Volkoffs or somebody. Well, he's going to do our show and promote his book, and he ain't charging a fee. Well, good. Have him on and give him my hour. He can do 2 hours now. I was like, that's my fee. That's what I charge. If you don't want to buy a book, well, I also have a book out that's called Bluegrass Brawlers that me and Jimmy Cornette are heavily in. Plus, my own book is being written right now. Uh-huh. We're about three chapters in. The title of that book is, it's due to be released March the 15th, 3/16/15 is supposed to be the release date of the book. The title of the book as it stands right now is The Mostly True Stories of Kenny Starmaker Boland, entitled I Probably Screwed You Too.
Wow, okay.
And or I think it's going to be I Probably Screwed You Too, The Mostly True Stories of Kenny Starmaker Boland. That way we leave room for me to lie my ass off about one or two stories and you have to figure out which one it is.
Oh, wow. All right, we're getting a bit of inside information here. Okay.
Because
there's an ongoing thing on this show for the last.
Oh, and yes, I do have an I'm a Boland Guy T-shirt. It just went up for sale here about a week or two ago. The size is 3, 5, and 6X just came in a few days ago, and those are out. As a matter of fact, I sent Cornette one for his birthday. I hope to see him wear it real soon.
Okay. Well, cool.
I thought he needed a nice shirt for a change. And of course the Beats by Boland, but the Beats by Boland, the headphones, my shirts, all you can get all that stuff on Facebook. Just write me in my inbox, tell me what you want. The more you buy, the better deal I give you. I mean, there are prices listed, but if you buy more than one item, I'll try and work with you on the shipping and everything and get you as good a deal as I can.
Okay, cool. So what the inside information that we're getting here. Okay.
Yeah, let's hear this here.
This has nothing to do with wrestling now. Now, we have an ongoing debate here on the show. Somebody just told us that you're a big fan of the Golden Corral.
They told you wrong. The Golden Corral is a big fan of mine.
Okay, they're a big fan of yours.
They have me there every Thursday night. It's called Beats and Eats with Kenny Starmaker Boland. And I come there and we set up my headphone display. I have a few of my DVDs there. I'll have my T-shirts there. And four lucky customers get to write my inbox and reserve a spot at my table. And if they agree to buy a set of headphones and a T-shirt, I buy their dinner for them. And we'll do this for up to four people. And then, of course, any fans can come by and buy a shirt or whatever if they like, and they can pull up a chair, and we'll talk a little wrestling with them. But to actually have a chair at my table, we have room for four fans a week, and we have sold out every Thursday for God knows how long, and we even have to add dates from time to time. And Golden Corral loves to have me because we boost their business because we get a lot of fans that come up there and buy dinner that ordinarily would not come.
Okay, all right.
Because, do you eat this steak?
Yeah, do you? Okay, let's cut through the
chicken. Let's put it this way. I haven't paid for a meal at the Golden Corral in 15 years at any of about five different locations.
But let's
$15 a meal. You add that up over 15 years. My lovely son's wife is new here from Brazil, and She thinks Americans eat a little too much, but she's adopting our way of thinking. She fills her cookie plate up when she goes there.
Okay, that's the thing. She fills up her cookie.
There's a survey going on. Listen, Double A got to ask you a question about Golden Corral. We want your honest opinion because you've been going there for about 15 years.
You've come to the right place. If you want to know something about wrestling or Golden Corral, you've come to the right place.
Okay, all right. Would you consider getting a quality steak from the Golden Corral? Like, if you went and you went to their little area where they cut the meat.
The little area.
You know, the station, whatever it's called. Would you consider what they give you?
Yeah.
A steak that you, up on par with the same steak that they give you, let's say, at a Ruth Chris or even like Outback or Longhorn or one of those places.
I'm going to break this down for you. How old of a young man are you?
32.
You're 32 years 32. Old. Are you somewhat of an educated young man?
No, I'm educated. No, I'm asking. The thing is, I know the answer.
No. Let me ask you your question. I'm going to ask mine.
No, but wait a minute. I want to explain myself.
What type of education do you have? GED?
I took some college.
You took some college?
Some college.
Because the fact that you're asking me question,
it's not that I'm asking.
Believe that you might be Jethro Bodine and you dropped out in the third grade.
No. The point here. Wait a minute.
Asking me is a $15 you can eat buffet steak. No.
Wait a minute.
A $75 fucking steak and the roots. You dumb fuck. Yep.
But that's the point. That's the point.
You're trying to bury my steak.
No, I'm not.
You're trying to bury my $15 steak.
No, but that's
a $75 steak.
No, but that's
saying, Mr. Bowen, are your headphones as good as the Bose $499?
No. I didn't say that. I'm not trying to
get him for the money.
No, I'm not impugning.
$39.
No.
You want to buy $500 headphones, or you want to buy $39?
No. But the reason why.
If you're hungry, let me tell you something. If you're hungry. If you haven't eaten in a day or two, then that goddamn $15 steak tastes just fucking fine to you.
No, but that's the thing.
Yeah, I answered your question for you.
No, but wait. But the thing is, it's not because I know the answer.
What's your name? Give me your name again. What's your name?
My name is Double A. But the point is, I'm not Double A.
Well, Arn Anderson would take offense to that. Double A. Let me ask a question to all the wrestling fans out there. What was long and hard on Double A? It was called third grade. So go ahead.
No, but the thing is, I'm not asking this in a disrespectful aspect. The thing is,
it sounded disrespectful.
But that's
trying to compare $15 steak to a fucking $75.
No, but that's the thing. That's the thing.
There's no comparison.
No, okay. That's what I'm trying.
But if you're hungry, you'll think that's a $75 steak. You go about 3 or 4 days without eating, and you say, "King, I ain't eating in about a week. Can I come down there and have some steak with you?"
No, but that's the thing.
We'll slaughter that shit up like it's a $75 steak if I have you down.
I understand that. But no, but the thing that I probably didn't explain myself.
What's Double A stand for? Arrogant asshole.
Well, that would be with an E, wouldn't it? But anyways, but still.
Now he's giving spelling lessons.
But anyways,
third grade dropouts giving spelling lessons now. You gotta love that.
But anyway, no, my point, the thing, the reason why.
All right, Professor Double A, go ahead.
No. The reason why I asked that is because
I'm listening.
There's been something going on here the last, I would say about the last month.
He got an arrogant asshole. Where the hell did that come from?
Well, anyways,
I was just asking a young lady that speaks six languages and graduated with a 4.4 grade point average. Where the fuck you came up with an E and arrogant asshole?
I don't know. Anyways,
went to school in Indiana, didn't you?
Yeah, yes, I did. All right. Well, anyways, no.
You went to IU University. I know where you went.
The thing is that we've been talking for about the last month with another person that's generally on the air with us. And the thing was that he...
You do realize I'm charging every one of you a shirt and beats because this is classic shit right here.
No problem. But the thing is that we were talking. The Golden Corral was brought up in conversation, and we were talking about it, and we were saying, you went to the Golden Corral, you know, okay, great, you went, and it was his first time going to the Golden Corral, and he came off as it being the greatest experience that he's ever had his life. And that's why
nobody speaks more highly of Golden Corral than me. They've been very good to me over a 15-year period. Here's one of the tricks. The earlier that you get there, because see, they have the soup and sandwiches, and they don't really have steak until 4 o'clock, because then you're on the lunch buffet. At 4 o'clock is when they start serving steak. The secret is the earlier you get in there and eat with the old folks. Now it might look like a casting call to The Walking Dead when you go in there. There's gonna be a lot of blue hair, a lot of people barely moving, a lot of people with limbs falling off, and it will look like an episode of Walking Dead.
And we explain that.
They're actually in there just eating. Right. Just old people, just eating is all it is.
Right.
And I think they serve the good steak to them because they don't have all their teeth and they can chew it a lot easier.
Right.
And then the younger people like me and you go in there late at night, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, and we get the shit steak because we got better teeth, or presumably, and we're expected to be able to eat the tougher steak.
Right, but
so the earlier you get in there, the better steak you get.
The thing is that,
and I'll tell you that from experience.
Right, and I've been to Golden Corral a few times, so I know exactly what you're saying. The thing is that this person came on the air, and they were writing it off like if it was, you know, like it could not have been any better. I mean, like the best meal on the face of the planet.
Even for me, that may have been a bit of an exaggeration.
And he wasn't exaggerating. That's the problem, and that's why the debate started. And that's why
actually,
I asked you the question.
Actually, one of the best steaks I ever had in my life, and I don't know how it happened because it never happened again, but one of the best steaks I ever had in my life, me and Rico Constantino, if you remember who he is,
right.
Played Rico, the stylist in the WWE
right.
several years ago.
Right.
Yeah. And me and Rico and Mark Henry, and I can't remember if Cena was with us or not. He may have been there that night as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some steaks at Old Charlie's to where they had us in a special guest late at night. They cooked us up 4 of the biggest, baddest, mofoing steaks you ever had in your life. I don't know what they did to them, but they were the best goddamn steaks I ever had, and we never, ever got a steak in there that good again. But that night, they were the best I'd ever had.
Right.
I don't know why. I don't know if we got some type of special cut, special preparation. And I think it was me, Henry, Rico, and Cena. And we were pretty impressed. And none of the 4 of us paid for shit. I think I traded them out with autographed WWE pictures and probably some passes to some OVW television shows.
Yes, that's...
Never cost us a nickel.
See, I wish we all could be so lucky to get a...
No, not everybody's Kenny Starmaker Bowler.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And not everybody...
Especially double A.
And not everybody spells arrogant with an E. So, well, Kenny, I really appreciate you calling in, and
you're wrapping me up already. I call it the end of the show. Anybody else would extend it.
Well,
anybody else would
do
a bonus hour.
Hey, if you guys
they buy more time, they would do what you're wrapping me up. You get rid of me already.
Oh no! If you want to stay on the air till 4 o'clock in the morning, let's do it.
I don't.
Okay, it definitely, I mean,
How many hosts do you have there? Is there one of you, two of you, how many of you there?
We have a couple people on the air. I mean, I'm the host. I have my co-host, Tony C, and we have Surfer, and then we have Lee and Shane, who...
You don't have any hot females down there running the circuit board or anything?
No, you know what? The female they come and go on the show. They tend to come and then they hide for
a little
bit.
Good looking females have a tendency to come and go.
I know, right? I mean that happens, but here for some reason
they're going right.
Yeah, exactly. But for some reason
maybe on your end they just go.
maybe. But no, here for some reason they come, they hang around for a little bit, and then they disappear for a couple of weeks, and then they reappear again.
And then they come back.
Yeah, so
coming and going. All right.
Yeah.
You
so you know they only want to come on the air when they have something that they find.
See, I just wanted to prove to you guys tonight that I don't need Cornette to do a great show. I don't need Cornette to do an entertaining show. I got my own show.
Mm-hmm.
We've got now we don't get quite as many listeners as the Cornette Experience. Jimmy's show, from what I understand, gets between 70 and 80,000 listeners. The Bowling Alley gets in the neighborhood of about 30 to 35,000. But I wasn't on worldwide famous television for the better part of all my goddamn life either.
Right.
So, still, considering what I generated was right out of Louisville, Kentucky, and I never really had to travel very far. And accumulated most of my fame just creating famous people. I'm pretty proud of what we do, and I get more requests to be on Jimmy's show than Jimmy does.
Right.
I don't know if you see these Twitter feeds or not, but his fans are pissed when I'm not on his show. And that's his fans, not mine.
I could see why. I mean,
so I'm pretty proud of what we do.
I could definitely.
But
see
I feel why. I can go on anybody's show and make it a better show. You know, we try to entertain. We try to get a laugh or two and tell a story or two. And hell, I've worked with everybody, so you almost can't name anybody that's famous in the WWE over the past 10 or 15 years that I haven't worked with,
right?
Or trained or developed. So, right. I've got plenty to say.
I'll tell you this much, in the last 10 minutes that you've been on the air, you've entertained me more than the 4 hours we were on previously.
You were on 4 hours today?
Well, you know what it is that we come on the air at 8 o'clock, and then, you know, we start going on. Really, we're supposed to be on the air for 2 hours, but a lot of times we get off on a tangent, we start talking about something else, and then this thing leads to another thing, and we kind of just...
Right.
Go with the flow, and whenever I say, okay, you know what, let's wrap it up, we wrap it up, and you know, typically when we do the show, at least this show, we typically do, you know, between three and a half, sometimes we go to 4 hours, you know, and
now, are any of you fellows, are any of you guys friends or followers of me on Facebook?
Actually, I am.
Okay, I think I've got room for maybe 4 or 5 more every birthday. If I see a name that I haven't recognized in the past year, mm-hmm. I'll hit their message box, and if they've never written me ever, I delete them immediately. So there's some nights I'll drop 20 people that night. If you're just one of these, I call them fan whores, to where they just want to say they're friends with so and so.
Right.
Yeah. Me and Steve Austin are friends. Well, if you've never written Steve Austin,
right,
and he's never written you, then you're not really a friend of Steve Austin,
right,
or who the fuck ever. And so if I hit my box and you've never taken the time to write me, and I haven't taken the time to write you, it's kind of hard to call you a friend.
Right.
And what I do is I make room for true fans and true friends who will actually write me, ask me a question, might want to buy my merchandise. So why waste all that space on people that aren't doing me any good at all? I'll create room for people who do.
Right.
So you guys down there, feel free to send me a friend request tonight. In my inbox, say, you was on our show tonight, and then I'll know who you are.
Okay.
And the show is just called The Rant, correct?
It's called The Rant. We're on a network.
Where are you based out of?
Well, we're kind of scattered around, but I'm in Florida. Me and my co-host were in Florida. Surfer over there is in Philadelphia. Lee's in
Boston. Wait a minute. His name is Surfer. He's in Philadelphia. He ain't surfing shit.
That's true. And we've tried to explain that
shouldn't
to him. Right?
Shouldn't he be in Orlando or Miami? Maybe my hometown of St. Petersburg, somewhere where the fucking water is?
I don't think he's ever seen the beach.
Yeah, I bet he hasn't. If he's in Philadelphia, he ain't seen no beach.
I think the only water he's seen is...
Might have saw a Philly Swiss sandwich or something, a cheesesteak.
That's true.
I've seen the beach.
He's,
as a matter of fact, I had me a chili, a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. I was in Philadelphia for the Eddie Gilbert Memorial, and I think it was 1997, if memory serves me correctly. Cornette and Dennis Corleza booked this thing. They asked me to be on the show, and turned out I had 5 segments on that show, to where I come out and shove down everybody's throat how great Fox 41 was and the Big 58, which were the 2 channels I was on in Louisville. Mm-hmm. And I buried ECW, WWE, and I was to be the special guest referee for a Sonny Marlena arm wrestling match. And Sonny, guess what? No-showed. Huh? Who thought that in 1997? Sonny no-showed the event, so me and Marlena ended up doing a bit in the ring where I interrogated her over her recent marital problems with Gold Dust.
Right.
And it led to me getting slapped in the face, and then I was interrupted 4 or 5 other matches, managed 1 or 2 others, and it was a long fucking night. Psycho Sid and King Kong Bundy was even on that show. And, yeah, they showed up.
Psycho Sid.
But Sonny, true to her form, no-showed it just like she always does.
Okay. Can
I ask you a question?
Go ahead, Tony C. Ask him a question.
But I did request, before I left, someone brought me as a matter of fact, I was in Nick Bockwinkel's presidential suite. He had me up to his room. We talked wrestling for about 2 or 3 hours. He asked me if I'd had a Philly cheesesteak sandwich before. I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, you're going to have one before you go. And he made one of the runts run down at about 3 in the morning and get me a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. So I did have one from Philadelphia before I left.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, you said Psycho Sid was on that card, right?
Yeah, Psycho Sid was on there, did a nice video to where he sent my son a message back home. He was actually that night a very nice guy. But I knew Psycho from his Memphis days.
Okay. Now, if you've been a wrestling historian that you are, would you say that Psycho Sid is a wrestling technician, not wrestling technician?
This is another question that's been brought up.
I'm going to have somebody translate what the young man said. Okay. For whatever reason, his voice is coming through very muffled and very...
It's because he's
someone
on.
Someone tell me what he just said.
It's because he's calling in on the phone. But the thing is that what he said was, and this goes back to the same person that brought up the Golden Corral thing. Is also under the impression that we tried to be as polite as we can to this person and try to explain to him that that's not necessarily, you know, there's other alternatives out there, that he wants to convince us that Sid was one of the best mat technicians out there,
as well as Goldberg.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ!
Yeah, we said the same thing.
Well, wait. And Goldberg, in your view, are two great mat technicians.
This is not my view. This is what was said to us.
Oh, well, whoever said that to you, tell them that Kenny Starmaker Bolin, I can't even say my own name after hearing this, but Kenny Starmaker Bolin said, "Are you a fucking idiot?"
His name is Rage.
His name is Rage. Well, anytime that if you're not a professional wrestler and you have a nickname like you are, no offense, Double A.
Oh, wow. You probably got some issues
going on anyway, Double A.
Well, no, actually,
and,
that is
Rage and Surfer, who doesn't even have fucking water near him. Jesus, goddamn Christ.
That's not why they call me that.
Why do they call you Surfer? Because you have no water.
No, he calls himself.
What do they do, call you genius because you have no brains?
That's probably it. But no, he calls himself Surfer.
He calls himself the Silver Surfer.
Because he has no water.
No,
it's a comic book character.
He didn't say that part.
It's a comic
because
book.
Of the Silver Surfer.
No, it's, yeah, because
so
it's.
He's a big fan of the Silver Surfer. Well, I like the Silver Surfer.
Yes. But the thing is that he also like Batman,
but I never called myself Batman.
But the thing is, we get on his case because he does go to a lot of the Comic Cons and this and that, and while other people who may represent the show or they may represent the network, they present themselves and they use their real name, he continues to use Surfer.
I go to Kaiser.
Okay.
Now, don't listen. Kaiser, use my real name.
Okay. He goes to the Comic Cons with a satchel, Mr. Bowling. And inside this satchel, he carries all of his belongings: chicken spread sandwiches and Pepsis in this satchel.
You all won't be offended then if I tell you that I've never met one person at a Comic Con place, and that includes Jimmy Cornette, that I'd care to shake hands with.
So. Yeah.
I met Jerry Lawler at the last one.
Well, you know what? Lawler does go to those, don't he? Jerry was a big artist, a huge fan of fucking Batman, and also a big fan of Coca-Cola for some damn reason.
Jimmy
Cornette goes to a lot of them. Jimmy collected comic books like you won't believe. He's got a house full of comic books that are worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
And he loves
I never was much of a comic book guy. I never really got into any of that stuff at all until my son took a liking to it. And even then, I didn't really buy the books. He did. I didn't. I just never was really a comic book guy. But I enjoyed the shows of Batman. I loved Spider-Man as a kid. I loved Underdog. Of course, Underdog doesn't really fall into that same group. But those were the shows I liked as a kid. Yeah. Superman, Batman, Underdog, Spider-Man.
That's good.
Aquaman. I enjoyed Aquaman. I enjoyed Mitor, Space Ghost. Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner. And my favorite cartoon character of all time, and he don't get enough respect, is Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, you know what?
I like him too.
I said, listen, boy, I'm trying to make some sense to you.
You know,
shaped like a bowling ball and a brain that is not near that size. Shut up, boy.
What was his little son name with the big head and the glass?
Sheldon.
Sheldon, yeah.
That little nerdy ass chicken. That little nerdy ass chicken was a lot like Jimmy Cornette's son. Everyone knew that was Foghorn's son, but nobody could prove it. Well, we're going to prove who Jimmy Cornette's son is. Little Jimmy LeBeau. That little kid was basically Jimmy LeBeau, that little chicken with the glasses.
Oh, wow.
Matter of fact, that little chicken looked a lot like Cornette. With his big old glasses.
Yeah?
Looked just like Jimmy.
Did he drink Sprite?
Well, I don't think they had Sprite back then, because those Foghorn Leghorn cartoons were made in like the 40s and 50s, yeah. And I don't think they had Sprite back then.
Yeah.
But if they had it, he was probably a Mountain Dew was a bigger drink back then, to be honest with you.
That's one thing I can't. I'm getting fed up with all these Mountain Dew promotions during the TV shows now, that every 5 seconds we have to see the announcer sipping the Mountain Dew and this and that. That's
You're
driving
not
me up the wall.
This, but I was pulling up some old Hee-Haw footage today to show my son's wife from Brazil the true connotations of American hillbillies.
Oh, wow.
And what the networks thrived on for years and years, and Grandpa Jones was singing a song about Mountain Dew in 1964.
Wow.
Grandpa Jones. You can YouTube it. It's out there. Grandpa Jones singing a song about Mountain Dew. And he also sings a song called Eight More Miles to Louisville, which is mine and Jimmy's hometown.
Okay. Well yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look that up. Let me.
Worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you one wrestling related question here, and this is actually a legitimate question. Do you see? I mean, you've been in the business now for a while, and you've managed a lot of people.
Before you ask that question, let me refer back to Psycho Sid.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me go back to that. No, they were not remotely close to being mat technicians. Goldberg knew so little, that's why his entrances got longer and longer every week. we once made a joke in the locker room at a WWE show that we were at. Not WWE, but a TNA show. They're not TNA, but whatever the fuck they called themselves. I was there as Bobby Eaton's guest that night. And there were a lot of people that were very concerned that I was there as a spy for the WWE. And I had not started officially working for WWE yet. We didn't have our developmental contract with them yet. So Goldberg is making his entrance to the ring, and I told somebody, I said, yeah, the sad thing is that you do realize that eventually these entrances are going to have to start at home while he's on the commode.
Yeah.
There sits Goldberg on the commode, reading the paper, his music hits. He sits there, he takes a shit, he folds his paper up, he gets dressed, he showers. Maybe I hope he showers and then gets dressed. You'll see the cab pick him up in front of his apartment, fly him to the airport, he goes to the airport, flies to whatever fucking town he's in, gets off the plane, the music is still playing. He gets off another shuttle, takes him to the arena. And then this could go on for fucking a day and a half. But Goldberg's entrances eventually are going to start at home with him on the commode taking a shit. And apparently someone told him that, and he didn't take too kindly to that analysis of how much longer his entrances were going to be.
Right.
Because his matches were normally about a minute and 45 seconds at best.
Right.
Psycho Sid was better than Goldberg. But here's the thing. I was at a show in Nashville, Tennessee once, and this show had Jerry Lawler in Nashville, Goldust, Steve Austin, Hunter Helmsley, Yokozuna, who else am I thinking of? God, you name it, Shawn Michaels, and Bret the Hitman Hart. And all these guys were coming out for their matches, and they were all getting a big pop, and each one was getting a little bit bigger pop. The biggest pop of the night in Nashville, Tennessee, is when they hit Psycho Sid's music and he come out, that arena went fucking apeshit. Not Lawler, not Bret Hart, not Shawn Michaels, not Goldust at the top of his game, not Yokozuna. Nobody on that card, not The Undertaker, nobody got a bigger pop than Psycho Sid. Who knew less about mat wrestling than all the others combined.
Now when was this?
That would have been Nashville. God, I'm scared to give you a year. I would say very late 90s.
Probably about 96. I put about 96 around there.
It was in Nashville, Tennessee, and Jimmy got me shit seats for the show. We were upper deck. It was such a high ticket demand that we couldn't even get good seats for it. We were up in the rafters, and that was me knowing Jimmy Cornette managing Yokozuna on the same damn show.
Yeah. Well,
I had ringside seats for countless pay per views.
Right.
But for a fucking Monday Night Raw in Nashville, I could hardly get a seat.
That's unfortunate. Let me ask you this. This is actually a very serious question, or legitimate question, I should say.
Right.
Is, in your opinion, given the state that it's in, do you think TNA is closing up shop?
I think they don't have any choice, but I felt that for the better part of the last 2 years.
Right.
I worked at OVW when we were developmental with TNA, and they were in a sad state then, and it just got worse. And when you can't afford to have OVW be your developmental territory because we were working for a fraction of what we were for WWE, when you can't afford us to be your developmental territory, the wrestlers were all getting their checks late. Even the developmental guys, they were getting their checks 3 to 6 weeks late. And I know that for a fact because some of them would owe me money and never fucking have it.
Right.
That's a sad state of affairs. One thing I can say about the WWE is everybody got paid.
Right.
It might not be what they were worth, but they got paid, and no one ever waited for a check.
Right. Is it just that? I mean, this is just a festering problem, or is it that? Obviously, there's something that's wrong that's going on in TNA that for whatever reason they just can't get it right because this has been an ongoing problem for quite some time.
As long as Dusty Carter's got her finger on the shots being called, as long as you keep infiltrating the same people or creating. You got to remember, Russo, no matter what you think about him, be you like him or don't, I know Cornette despises him. I personally don't have a problem with him. I think he's an all right guy. I know with a lot of people, when they start having troubles in life, they all of a sudden find Jesus or God or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be Jesus hovers around struggling wrestlers because all the struggling wrestlers seem to find Jesus where no one else can.
Right.
So we know where he's at. Find a struggling wrestler and you'll find Jesus somewhere nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And Russo is one of those. Of course, Shawn Michaels. There's been countless others. But Russo, single-handedly, him and Bischoff, about put TNA or whatever they were called then, WCW out of right. business. They were about to do the same thing to WWE, or at least Russo was. He was coming up with some shit that was just off the wall terrible. And had he been around there much longer, I mean, I don't know that you can put WWE out of business, but he would have probably come as close as anybody. And when you keep putting the same people who fail into a position of failure, which is what keeps happening with Russo and Bischoff and various others, and keep recycling the same formula, which didn't work before, so it's not going to work now, that is why these places like this continue to fail. Well, we get 1 million viewers. Well, you've been getting 1 million viewers no matter what. It hasn't mattered.
Right.
Matter of fact, your viewership went down when you got Hogan, and y'all claimed you'd be getting 3 to 4 million viewers within 6 months.
Right.
Well, that never happened. Their viewership dropped with Hogan.
Right.
Because people were sick of the same old, and that's all they were getting.
Yeah.
Nothing really new. Big deal. You got a six-sided ring. Who gives a fuck? So they took that away, and now they brought it back like that was going to make a difference. And nobody gave a shit about that either.
Give me
an interesting storyline. Give me guys I can hate. Give me guys I can like. Without a good guy and without a bad guy, you got nothing. And that's WWE's big problem. Who is a real heat-getting heel in the WWE? Name them for me right now. Who are the real heat-getters that you just fucking can't stand?
In the WWE,
I would love to be the first to say the Wyatts, but they've almost made the Wyatts the biggest baby faces on the show.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Was it Stephanie McMahon?
75% of the arena loves the Wyatts.
Yeah, I'd go with that. I would definitely
half the arena hates Cena because the boyfriends are jealous of him, and then half of them love him because they're little teenage girls in the door.
But do you think
so you don't have really a true heel and a true face in Cena because he's half and half.
But do you think
the Wyatts are half and half at best, if not more babyface? You had the what do you call it? What was their group called? Roman Reigns and those guys originally.
Shield.
What were they?
The Shield.
Yeah. And now they're the biggest baby faces on the show. And you don't have anybody there to hate. Maybe the Russian.
Right.
And that's manufactured. I mean, America versus USA. When's that ever been done before?
Right.
And I have to admit, when I watch the show, the Russian's the only one I don't like.
Yeah.
That I root for the American to whip his ass. Dutch Mantel, Dutch and his guy were hated heels there for a while. Now they're the biggest baby faces on the show, or were, until Dutch got hurt by one of the dumb fucks.
Right. But the
formula for successful wrestling is intriguing storylines with people for you to hate and people for you to like. If you don't have both, it don't work. Otherwise, it's just a sideshow. It's a circus. That's why they want to call it entertainment. That's why they don't want anybody to believe anything's real. That's why you got comic book writers writing the show instead of people that know shit about wrestling.
Right.
And with that formula, you're never going to be as good a success as you possibly could be.
Right.
Because I can't name anybody on the show that I hate, and I can't name anybody on the show that I love.
Right.
The Wyatts were the closest thing to it, because me being a 28-year heel in the business, I was never a babyface a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I respect good quality heel work, and the Wyatts had that.
Right.
But they let the crowd fall in love with the Wyatts. They didn't do enough to keep the heat on them.
Now you brought up.
They didn't let them beat people that they love. Big deal, you beat Cena. Half the arena hates him anyway.
But that's the thing. You brought up Cena, and you say that the arena is booing Cena pretty much all the time, except maybe, you know, unless there's a heavy. You know, population of kids in the building that night, but
if you're in the deep South and you've got a big population of kids and teenage girls, then you can sway that house a little bit with Cena. Right. But if you got the smart marks of the East and you got one of your guys there from Philadelphia, there's no worse town to do a wrestling show in than Philadelphia, New Jersey, those there in New York,
because
the smart marks want to control the show,
right.
There's no chant I hate worse than that. I know I've failed if I'm doing a match as a manager, mm-hmm. and the crowd starts chanting, "This is awesome." Go back in the history, go back in the days of when people used to think wrestling was fucking real, and find me one time that the crowd made a chant, "This is awesome."
Never happened.
It never happened.
Right.
It never, ever fucking happened. Because now they think they're in control of the show. This is awesome. They want to hear themselves.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Or they shit all over the match. No matter how bad a match was in the good old days, they didn't shit on it. They just did not respond. That was your way of shitting on the match. This sucks. You're getting no reaction out of me, good or bad.
Right.
You make me pop, I'll get up and cheer.
Right.
You make me mad, I'll get up and boo. Well, you're not giving me neither. So that no response was a response.
Right.
But if you listen to the crowds in the Northeast,
uh-huh.
New York, the New Jerseys, the Philadelphias, Philadelphia on up is smart mark hell.
Uh-huh.
I would rather die than do a show in any of those towns. Jimmy gained respect for my craft when I actually got people to hate me in Philadelphia. He said that is the hardest fucking thing in the world to do.
Uh-huh.
And he phrased it, is to get these smart marks to hate you to where they don't want to see you no more.
Right.
Because they think they control you. And that was in the late
1990s. Right.
That was when Jimmy learned that I could do this job pretty good. Because I feel I can make anybody hate me, just given a little bit of time. But believe it or not, I can actually feel I can make people like me, given a little bit of time. I just never liked that part of it.
Right.
I always enjoyed being the bad guy.
Yeah, I think that if I was in the business myself, if I was... I probably would prefer being a bad guy over a face.
Most of us would. Being a bad guy I think most people see it easier, but there are certain crafts to it. And being a good guy is not necessarily easy either.
No, it's not.
I never wanted to do it.
Right.
I never wanted to be a good guy.
Do you think WWE has? I mean this question has been played out already for years and years and years at this point, and it's become mute. But do you think that do you think WWE has missed the boat on possibly turning Cena a full-blown heel?
There would have been better timing to have done it quite some time ago. I mean, if you remember when he came in, him and Bull Buchanan more or less were heels.
Right.
But he was a rapping heel, and the crowd was entertained by him.
Right.
And so they missed the boat and did it the wrong way there, because you made him a rapping heel, and half the crowd liked him when they were all supposed to hate him.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever missed the boat. I guess it could be done, but they won't, because their number one gimmick seller is off the table if you piss the crowd off and they don't want to buy his gimmicks anymore.
Because we feel that the thing is that at some point, I mean, we don't necessarily feel this anymore, but there was a time that we felt that, you know, by turning Cena heel, it could have been as big as when Hogan turned in 96.
Well, there's only one thing you need for that formula, guys. You got to have somebody that the crowd will love as much as they hate Cena. Who would that guy have been?
That's true.
Can tell you who, but they pissed him off and he left. CM Punk.
Yeah. Do you think
the crowd wanted to love CM Punk? He was the guy. But Punk liked being a heel.
Right.
He didn't like being a babyface. He loved being a heel. And he was pretty good at both. Mm-hmm. But he was the only one they had where the crowd could love as much as they would have hated Cena.
Right.
So in order for Cena to be a successful heel, you've got to have somebody there for them to love as much as they hate Cena. And right now, I don't know who you can name.
Right. Do you
Roman
think...
Roman Reigns? Well, he's hurt now.
Yeah, he's hurt. Do you think
he doesn't have enough verbal skills to pull it off?
Right. But do you think that WWE
doesn't have enough match skills? He has really been thrown into this main event status very early.
But do you think that maybe they should just...
They're going to get a little mileage out of it, but I don't think they're going to get the long-term effect they think they're going to get.
Right. Do you think Punk walking out, I mean, did that rub you the wrong way?
No, he certainly had the right to do so. I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers there that view it that way, that think he took his ball and went home. Hello, puppy. I got a little pit bull here that 99% of the time is the most loving dog that ever was, unless you try to eat food out of her bowl. She doesn't take too kindly to that. She lets my Labrador know about it. No, I don't begrudge him that. Supposedly, the true story behind all this is that he was upset. Some promises were made to him that some of his friends were going to be called up. Some of his other friends were going to get elevated in the company. We're going to start getting better paydays, and we're going to get contracts, and WWE and apparently Triple H reneged on it. And so it made him look like an ass to his guys that he told he had them covered. And that, from what I've been told, that was one of the main reasons he left. How true that is, it comes from a pretty goddamn reliable source, so I think there's a fair amount of truth to it. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, that had as much to do with him leaving as anything, is that he was made to look like a fool in front of his friends. Unlike most wrestlers, he actually saved his money. He did one thing I wouldn't have done. He bought a million-dollar condo in Chicago.
Right.
I don't know how any single guy needs a $1 million home. I'd rather have the money in the bank and live with some sense rather than to blow $1 million on a fucking property.
Right.
You may or may not be able to get your money back out of.
Right.
And you know how the homes went south here not long ago.
Right.
So that part I might not have done, but he had saved his money pretty well. He's had some judgment about the women he's dated. He used to be in love deeply with Maria Kanellis, and she dumped him, and that kind of hurt him a little bit. And I bet Maria's probably wishing now maybe she hadn't have done that. Now he's with AJ, and AJ was supposedly
a homeless girl here not long ago. I don't know how in the hell you can look like AJ and be homeless. Somebody would give you a home, so I think that's a bit exaggerated.
Yeah.
You don't look like AJ and not have anywhere to go. I know my door was open. She just didn't ask. So, what do you do?
Yeah.
But, I better wrap this up, guys. I really just called in to give y'all some shit for about 5 or 10 minutes, but y'all had some good questions, and I've never done your show before, right. So what the hell?
Well, I can't tell you how
and
much
I know each and every, and I know each and every one of you. I know I've got Philadelphia Eagles beats. I know Surfer wants a set of those. I do have Iron Man, Spider-Man, Superman, Captain America, but I don't have any Silver Surfer beats. If I had Silver Surfer beats, would you get them, Surfer?
Yeah, sure.
That didn't He's lying. He did that shit.
That didn't sound too convincing, Surfer. Listen,
you're from Florida. I got lots of Florida stuff. I've got Miami well represented. I've got the Heat, the Dolphins. The Miami Marlins, who, shit, I thought we were going to get in the playoffs there for a while. They were playing some good ball.
Yeah, well, ever
and,
since...
And where's everybody else from? We got Philadelphia, we got Miami. Well, where's everybody
Tony
else
C's
from?
Tony C's up in the Orlando area.
Up in where?
Orlando.
I don't have a whole lot going on in the Orlando area, so you're going to have to accept Miami as your hometown.
Yeah, and then Lee's in Baltimore. And Shane, where are you from?
Texas.
I am going to be ordering some Baltimore Oriole logos. The Oriole logo looks cool on the black beats, and I think we are going to start offering. And I do have the Ravens. Okay. So I've got the Ravens. I'm going to have the Orioles. I've been thinking about getting the Virginia Tech and Virginia. We've been debating that. And we'll make anything by request. We charge a $10 upcharge. I mean, if you've got a radio... Like say your all's podcast there. I've had a lot of people that run mm-hmm. podcasts that'll send me their logo, mm-hmm. and we charge a $10 upcharge for it because that's what it costs me to get the logos made.
Right.
And then we put them on their headphones for them, and then send them the other 22 logos to do with what they want.
Right. Okay. Well, Kenny, I can't tell you what a treat it was to have you call in today. It definitely.
Well, I can't tell you how happy I was that you knew who I was because it'd been mighty embarrassing if you didn't.
No. We knew who you were, and
you got me as the first guest. That was pretty good.
It was a shocker that you called in.
Well, thank Brian Kennel, whatever his name is, Jimmy Kimmel, whatever his fucking name is.
As a matter of fact,
he ordered a I'm a Bowen guy shirt.
He said that in the chat room,
so he could talk with Cornette in an upcoming appearance there on October the 4th.
Yeah, he did say that in the chat room.
Somewhere in Ohio.
Yeah, he said that in the chat room, but he got me good.
Did he?
He got me good. He surprised me good with this one. I'm going to have to get him back.
He did. He got you. He did order a shirt, so not that I'm begging or pleading. I wouldn't say I'm a wealthy man, but I wouldn't admit that even if I was.
Right. but we learned a lot tonight. We learned about...
I always take all the support I can get. If y'all get my shirts and headphones, that just makes my day.
Well, we'll definitely have
just so you know, we've sold over 1,500 shirts, and we're about to sell our 1,200th headphone. Probably, I'd say by the end of this month.
Well, great.
The headphones have done extremely well since last November.
Good. That's great. And why don't you plug your podcast again? Well,
the Bowen Alley is once a month, so you can always find the link to it on my wall. I never can remember the thing. There's links to it right now because we just recorded one. Mm-hmm. And if you like what I do, if you're entertained by the shit we do, my son, the Prince, is on this one with me. And we get into some deep shit. Now, we talk a lot about the Sean O'Hare situation. Mm-hmm. And this Bowen Alley is a pretty deep one. We get into some stuff that we normally don't get into. I highly advise, if you're entertained by what I do, to definitely check out this Bowen Alley. And my son is on this one. Well, he does all the Bowen Alleys with me.
Right.
And Cornette just talks bad about him.
Okay.
And I'm doing Cornette's show, and like I said, he don't know it, but he's got a big surprise coming before that show's over.
Oh, that's great. And we'll definitely be on the lookout for that one. Definitely.
That'll air sometime Thursday. Probably be up and running by 10, 11 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay, sounds good. And we learned a lot today.
And Kenny, my Facebook page, for those of you that don't know, is just go to facebook.com/StarMakerBowen.
Okay, Kenny.
Same thing on Twitter.
And we learned today, we learned a lot about Golden Corral. We learned that arrogant is spelled with an E, according to me. And and a few other things. You see, when you get caught off guard, you never know what kind of shit's going to come out.
I won't catch you off guard next time, will I?
Well, you never know. I picked up your call just at random. If you did it again, I'm telling you, it probably would happen. I'd probably be caught off guard.
You blew me away that you guessed it so quick. I thought it at least might take you two or three guesses, but you got me in the first time.
Yeah, at least
you acted like you were surprised and happy to have me. So that alone was good enough for me.
Okay, thank you very much, Kenny. I really appreciate you calling in.
You're quite welcome. Happy to do so.
All right,
but just remember. If you all order from me, that does make it a good day. Absolutely. I said good day.
Absolutely, man. Have a good night.
Order my shit, you tightwad bastards.
don't say that to us. Say that to Surfer. He's the tightwad on this panel. But
y'all have a good one.
You too, man. You too. Have a good night, man.
Yeah.
Bye bye now.
Bye bye. Well, how about that? Kenny Boland calling in.
When you gonna talk bad about being in front of guests, man? Come on now.
Did you guys really know who he was, or did I have to cover your ass?
No. You know what? I'm going to tell you. Hold it. I'm going to tell you something, Shane. When you said who it was, because the thing is, we've been on the air now, and we're going to wrap the show up here fairly shortly. We've been on the air now for 4.5 hours, so... And by the time we get, when he called in, I'm already in that wind down mode.
Yeah.
And so my head was already someplace else, and I was ready to say, okay, guys, let's final thoughts. And when I said the final thoughts, that's when the call came up, and I said, who would be calling in at this hour? And so I brought him on, and it didn't register right away because it just didn't. And then I'm listening, and after like a minute or two, I mean, yeah, you picked it up for me, but after a minute or two, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe he actually is calling in.
Yeah.
He called in, and then I was like, it took me a while to just like, okay. And the whole thing with the Golden Corral and everything, it was just...
I was popping like... Had to have like been... in my head, like I was like, what?
That definitely is a shocker to me. That had to have been one of the most shocking moments we've ever had on this show, without a doubt. I can't. There haven't been too many things where I've been speechless. That was one of them. And I tell you, I thought I could play ball with a lot of people, but apparently I can't. And he took me to school tonight.
You know, Arn wouldn't appreciate it.
Oh, well, you know what? And he didn't even give me. I would have explained where that name comes from, but you know, he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't give me. He didn't really give me a chance. But I kind of just brushed that aside. I said, "Well, okay, I'll take the licks this time." But yeah, wow. Kenny Boland was on this show. The man who managed many people: John Cena, Rico, and a long list of others.
Wow.
And surprise guest, nonetheless, was a surprise. I gotta thank Mr. X Brian in the chat room because he got me good. He got me good on this one because apparently what happened was, I guess he chats with Kenny and he's told Kenny, hey Kenny, get your ass and call this show, and Kenny said okay, and that's what he did. and so I have to thank Brian for doing that, because I tell you, this gave us an extra 30 minutes of airtime on a 4.5 hour show today. I really don't know what to say now, how to close out this show. Even Lex popped into the chat room to hear what was going on. He can't believe it himself. What do you guys think about that?
Very informal.
It was classic and Rage. Yeah. You know, Rage thought I was getting schooled, but at the end, when Kenny finally realized what I was talking about, he took Rage to the woodshed.
Exactly.
And of course, Lee, you were gold as always. you know, with your insight and informing him about Surfer.
Yeah, Lee, don't be doing that in front of guests. I mean, I know you're a clown on the earth, but jeez.
Taking the time, and I'm chatting with him now on Facebook. See, he's a very approachable guy. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I know his real name.
Yeah, I'll have to send him a nice thank you here. Yeah. Off the air. Well, I guess with that, I'm gonna plug the rest of the shows on this network because really, you know, we have to. But I really don't feel like doing it after this. You know, I'm
home. Just going tonight and just say thanks for listening.
No, yeah, well, actually, I do have to plug what's going on because tomorrow night on Turnbook of Throwbacks, they actually do have a guest tomorrow in studio, and tomorrow night Jaka from CZW and Beyond Wrestling. He's going to be in studio with Phil and Dave. They're going to be talking about what's going on in his career. And, of course, they're going to run down the week of wrestling and also some other things that's going on with them. Then on Friday, we'll have a new episode. Either Friday or Saturday morning, we'll have a new episode of the Lex Podcast with, where he'll talk about movies with his wife, Latasha. Then on Saturday, the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan, Rage and the Return of Hunter Morgan after a three-year hiatus. Hunter returns to the show after a very, very long hiatus.
Wait, hold. Ain't been no damn three. Who said William? Did William Morgan, did he say it was 3 years?
I factored it was about 3 years.
Oh, okay, I'm about to say, because you know William, he don't want fleet shit.
No, I'm figuring, because the last time I heard
the man's been over Afghanistan all this time.
The last time,
he's a hero.
I figured it was 3 years, because the last time I heard Hunter on the show, I think we were still on Blog Talk Radio.
No, he came over, he had like a couple after that. But it ain't been 3 years since.
It's going to be at least two.
He has called in once or twice.
Then I don't know. But anyways, Hunter Morgan returns full time to the show this coming Saturday night.
You said full time?
At least that's how I understand.
Uh oh, Ray, get your resume ready.
No. That's not how it's going to be. It's going to be a three man booth on that show. Anyways,
it's going to be Mongo.
Then on Sunday, the What Are You Reading comic book show with Silver Surfer and Jordan Cobb. That'll be Friday at 5 p.m. live right here on Rant AM Radio. And, of course, you can hear all the shows on iTunes simply by searching for Rant Entertainment Media or Rant AM Radio or The Wrestling Rant. All the shows will come up under any one of those names. And we'll replay, obviously, you know, we're going to replay this broadcast and we're going to replay all the other shows on the network. But if you missed any part of this show, and I know it's 12:35 at night, but if you want to hear the entire broadcast and especially the part where Kenny was on the air, we may isolate Kenny's call and play it as a separate entity on the feed. But if you want to hear Kenny's call and things like that, then I'm going to rebroadcast this show immediately after we go off the air. So if you're willing to stay up till about 4 o'clock in the morning and listen to when Kenny calls in, stick around because we're going to replay the show here just a little bit. And of course, it'll be available on iTunes probably in the next 20 to 25, maybe 30 minutes, it'll be available for you to download. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Rant AM Radio, and of course, check out everything that we've got on the website. Wow. I'm speechless. I've
never had this much fun, man.
You know what? It's been a long time since I've had one of these shows where I'm ending the show and I don't know what to say.
Same, you sound like the Macho Man when he joined the NWO.
Yeah, I'm speechless. I really
you
am
know
speechless.
Something. I don't know if I had this much fun, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. You know something? Yeah, don't you? Yeah, put on the show tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, I can't. Yeah, Mr. X in the chat room says I can't talk, but you know, I'm a little floored by this. I really am, because I didn't expect it. I mean, we've had people call in and surprise us before. And we've had other, you know, I don't want to make it to seem like that I'm gushing over the fact that Kenny called in, because we've had other guests call in before, but I think the thing is that it just kind of caught us off guard, especially that we were in the process of going off the air, and he came out like a cannonball, and just
like a house of fire,
exactly, and he lit this place up. There's only one other time, and actually Lee was a part of it, was the day Rodney Mack called into the college show.
Oh,
gee. But Rodney back in. So yeah. But anyways,
I didn't believe it. I was like, yeah. Oh, hold on, this is the real fucking Rodney back.
Yeah. Anyways, so with that said, I want to thank everybody in the chat room, everybody listening live. I want to send another special thanks to Kenny for calling in, if Kenny is still listening by chance, or if he's tuning into the feed or whatever the case may be. And, of course, to my callers, Stevie Ray, who bailed on us a while ago. Shane, thank you for calling in for the first time. New caller. Yeah. Look at that. You made your first-time caller, and look at this. You were on a history-making show.
That's awesome.
Look at that.
We need now for Stone Cold E.T. to call in.
I know, right? I know, right? So for Lee, Surfer, Tony C., I'm Double A. Enjoy the rest of your evening, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday night right here on The Rant.
Papers. So,
have a good night, everybody. Peace.
Ain't no stopping me, no!
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
You can't rob with me.
You're dropping.
Ain't no stopping me, no!
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
Trying to be the best, feel me breaking out, nothing more, nothing less. Want to be known, want the respect. Throw me anything, I'll pass that test. Believing in yourself, man, changes everything. Yeah, I want it all, I'm taking the brass ring. Call me underdog, you can call me anything. I got a lot of blessings, that's what faith brings.
You can't rob with me,
no stopping.
You can't rob with me,
no stopping.
You can't rob with me,
you're dropping.
Ain't no stopping me, no.
Want to start something, nigga, head to start something. Anytime, any place, dog, it's nothing. I'm coming from the bottom on my way to the top. And if things get hard, I still won't stop. See, the ambition is what keeps me going. Faith and the blessings what keeps me knowing. That I'll get it one day, man, you'll see. I'ma just be all the best I can be.
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
You can't rob with me.
You're dropping.
Ain't no stopping me, no.
You can't rob with me.
No stopping.
Stop!